B-Pod Studios.
The Bat. No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Kutcher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Avengers Infinity War is correct. That is
Endgame, sir. Infinity War was last year.
I'm not trying to be cool. I honestly made that mistake.
I wish I could snap my fingers and make you disappear.
What's happening is that there's a premiere. Now, we already know Nicholas loves premieres. He loves to get into there and know that there's no way anyone could spoil it for him. And then we have Bird, who also wants to go to this premiere. Mm-hmm. Now, Rich has got a ticket for himself, and he's got one other ticket. So, Rich, we decided to have these guys have like a hype man for them, if you would.
Sure. We wanted to find out who can bring in the best audio. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a relative or a friend. You just give us the best 4 minutes of audio, then we are going to be completely fine with it. And we'll just pick. We're going to pick whoever did the best job finding somebody that they know or met and brought them to the Toucher and Rich show. They're going to win this pass to go see Avengers Endgame. And Nick, because he's just a guy who's already got, I mean, the dude's already got a free pass because he knows that he immediately heads on over to the North End,
right,
and talks to a legend. And
Meatballs. Re-recline.
You are a dick.
My name is Mark Chabelle. I have my first man.
Now, obviously, everyone loves Mark Jamelli, including me. So when I got the email last night, he told me it was his dad. I was like, okay. And then
was there any doubt?
Started listening to. I mean, that's it. Now, I won't even like say it was lazy for him to do that. I would say it was smart.
If you know a superstar, you go to the superstar.
You go to your superstar.
I mean, if you got Sammy Hagar, I mean, you have him sing happy birthday.
You do. So, Fred, you have to understand, yesterday he went to go see his dad on the heels of something that we talked about on the show right around the end, right around 9 o'clock, which maybe Nick's dad was a little concerned about. You know,
my name is Mark Chabelli.
If you didn't hear the show yesterday, we ended up digging up a resignation letter.
Yes.
From Nick when he first was an intern on our show. And it was something that at the time he didn't want it to be read on air. And now he looks back and he's kind of like, okay, well, that was kind of silly. And we read it and Nick quit the show because of, why was it, Fred?
Well, he said, use the example of he was wearing a diaper, which we found out after the show was not true.
No.
And then he said that I was being mean.
You're being very mean.
Yeah.
And so Nick went over to talk to his dad. And remember, his dad always listens to the show. Like, he's on Twitch all the time.
Yep. He loves it.
Apparently, there's people on Twitch giving their phone numbers out on Twitch, asking Mark Jamelli to give them a call.
Sure, why not? What are you wearing? What kind of recliner are you?
So, let's go to the North End, the little apartment that now has three recliners and the little blue light outside.
Four recliners, because one's in the bedroom, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He has the new one he got from Bernie and Phil's, and he's got the other two, and then he's got one in his bedroom. So he's got four recliners. No couches, just recliners.
Yeah. Why? Who needs them? And he sleeps. He has one bed, but it is unused.
Yeah, he only sleeps in a recliner.
All right, so here is Mark Jamelli making the case for Nick.
What's your name?
Mark Jamelli.
He's so happy.
He's the only man who can say his name and make me laugh.
Mark Jamelli.
My name is Mark Jamelli.
That was the first time we met him, and he had been drinking a little bit.
I think he's always got something going on. When you get up at 3 a.m, you know, afternoons can take a while.
What's your name?
Mark Jamelli.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes.
Okay, how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. Doing ducky.
Doing ducky?
Yes.
Ah, pretty in pink. Why did you choose ducky? Loved ya.
That's what Molly Ringwald was doing.
Ah, doing, yeah. Ducky. Pretty in pink. Oh, she's pretty in pink. Ducky loves ya.
Oh, I'm just fine. Doing just ducky.
Doing ducky?
Yes.
So did you listen to the show today?
I I did listen to the show. I had palpitations from the show today.
All right, he's drunk.
You think so?
Well, what time was this? I mean, was it right after one of the Manhattans?
Drunk, but he's pleasantly buzzed.
No. I don't think so. Hearing that.
I didn't mean it to be negative. I was just saying that he sounds like a man who's, like, you know, enjoying himself.
His first Manhattan's at 3. This was well before 3 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Listen, guys, I didn't mean that as an insult. I take it back.
Oh, trust me. He's the last person that would be insulted.
He's just so naturally happy. Some of us only can find that emotion through a bottle. So maybe that's on me.
Why did you have palpitations?
Well, because I remember the whole event, you know? And you know, Fred remembers it very well. Rich remembers it, too. But, you know, I wasn't the happiest camper in the world that night when you came home.
You felt like they were being very mean to me.
When?
When I quit. When I left the show.
I did. Well, I really can't answer that.
Wait, why?
Because I wasn't upset with them. I was upset that you quit.
Nicholas, they were only telling the truth. Oh, you lazy son of a bitch. I wasn't upset with them. Oh. Fred was telling the truth.
This is just turn you around and stab you right in the back.
Sweet vindication for you fellas.
Oh, yeah. Mark Gemelli is a man who demands something from someone.
He's like, I tell him how it is. Nick, oh, he's a piece of garbage.
Nick, your dad, he sold you out, my man.
Because he knows I was right. I wasn't playing radio. Nick was acting ridiculous. And all you people that are of another generation can say how it was bullying and everything else. But, I mean, he was messing up. And I kept saying it. And Mark Gemelli sat back and go, you're an idiot. Everything he said was true.
I mean, he just went full NWO on you, man.
Yep.
I thought you were going to be on my side for this.
Yeah, Nicholas, I'm on your side. Every day I'm alive.
Except for this one exception.
When he calls you Nicholas, that's the best.
Ah, Nicholas. Ah, my sweet, sweet, simple boy. Ah, Nicholas, you're like an old child. Here's a cup and a ball and a string. See you in 2 hours.
But when Fred is giving you a hard time, he does it because he's doing it to be funny in many ways, or you've ticked him off somehow.
No, no, no.
Oh, well, you know what? You just missed.
No, there's some times that Fred can be extremely unreasonable.
Watch it. You work for him.
I know I do.
Yeah, so be nice.
I think it's fair to say sometimes he can be unreasonable.
Well, I don't know. I just had this conversation with Bird. It was just him. Well,
what's going on over there?
What, by the way, what a Don move that would have been.
That was
if
awesome,
Bird would have said, for my audio, I'm getting Nick's dad.
Hell yeah.
Love that move by you.
So that didn't happen.
I don't know. Let's find out if he's making it up.
Oh, man.
Well, Bird's an idiot.
Bird was just here doing an interview with me.
No, he wasn't.
I want Fred to take me to the premiere.
I guess he is. But Bird,
that would have been great.
That would have been amazing.
That would have been a massive flex.
Wow.
Ah, Fred is right. You're an idiot.
Okay, did that hurt, Nick, that he chose a side and he didn't choose yours? A little bit. Yeah, I could tell. I could hear it in your voice.
Because I'm an adult. Even back then when I was 32, I was an adult. And you're a child. I like how he's like still acting like he's mad at me, even though I never even insult him anymore.
I don't think he is. He's not mad at you.
No, but he's acting like sassy. I might as well just tell you what happens in the movie and give this to Bird.
Oh, you want to go to premiere with Fred?
Yeah, I'll have my tux on and everything. So
I disagree with you. Rich was not mean during that time.
I do not remember then, okay?
It was different times.
It was a lot of liquor then. You know?
Yeah, we got drunk a lot during that show.
No, not... Oh, I don't know that fact. I know how I was.
much. Yeah, I know.
It was a huge bender. The years 2006 through 2010. I couldn't tell you anything, Nick. All I remember was a blue light.
I know how I was.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the Avengers?
It's incredible.
Well, that's not what you said. Now you're just faking it. You said, what are the Avengers? You said...
What is the Avengers?
Yeah, that's what you said.
I don't know.
Hold on. I'm going to re-ask you the question. Jesus, Dad. Just stay with me. All right. What are your thoughts on the new movie, Avengers Endgame?
I have no idea. I
love that because he's just in naturally happy mode. Like, it's wonderful.
It's like Kelly's roast beef.
That's right.
Oh, McDonald's in the Avengers. Harold and Maude. Oh, I loved it. Sunrise, sunset.
Doing ducky.
Oh, Sophie's Choice. I love it. Oh, the Tom Hanks movie when he gets AIDS. Philadelphia.
Philadelphia's not really a movie.
I never saw the end.
You're not going to like it.
Yeah. I only saw the first 15 minutes.
Okay, all right.
I have no idea. I've never seen one. I've never seen the show. I have nothing. I know nothing about it.
So you don't know anything about, like, who's in it and stuff like that?
No, but weren't you in New York one time and you sat in the big metal chair that I have a photo of?
No, that's Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what
no, this is. Can you name some of the characters in the Avengers?
No, but I could name them in Game of Thrones. I like that blonde girl. I think she's gorgeous.
Khaleesi?
Oh, my God. Just to see her interviewed on a regular show. She's a beautiful girl.
I tape her on Maury and yank it. Ah, Nicholas. Even when she's at a show.
Nick's face.
I got my own special recliner for that.
See, that's dangerous. You do the interview from the recliners. You're not sure which one is the recliner.
The Bernie and Phil's, you never touch yourself. That's a good one.
Nick is just like, he can't even look at us right now.
Nah, Nick.
So you really like Game of Thrones?
I do. Well, I don't know anything about Game of Thrones. I just know that girl. A blonde girl.
Okay. You haven't watched any of Game of Thrones. You just like the lady on it.
My shows are Kevin Can Wait, Drew Carey's show, MASH. That's sort of my speed.
He legitimately likes Kevin Can Wait?
That guy. He gets into such mischief.
Oh, man. I can't believe
Suicide is painless. Suicide is painless. Fatso's up on the roof. He ain't getting down without a fight.
I'm not your ordinary guy.
Oh, Alan Alda thinks the kid's a chicken.
MASH. Is MASH still, like, running on television?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Am I Betamax?
He's got on laser.
Hot lips. That was another blonde. Suicide is painless.
So you don't know any of the characters on Game of Thrones?
No, I don't. The little short midget guy.
Small person.
He's a friend of your sister's.
Oh, really?
She's done 2 or 3 shows on Broadway with him.
With the small person.
With the small gentleman, yes.
Not Mitch.
Who's a very talented actor. Well, I think he's a dwarf. Oh, and obviously he could be an aunt and uncle. Because they're all about that height.
What?
He's saying our family, they can be an aunt or uncle because they're all about that height. So hang on, your sister's friends with Peter Dinklage? Yeah?
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Really?
Get the Dink Man on the show.
Yeah, I'll take him on the show. Absolutely.
Get the Dink Man on the show.
So he's never watched Game of Thrones. He just likes the blonde girl because she's been on TV so much.
Ah, yeah. She's been on Ellen.
Nicholas, I'm on your side every day I'm alive.
Nicholas,
I'm...
I love when he calls you Nicholas.
I wasn't upset with them. I was upset that you quit.
From your dad's mouth, stabbing you right in the back.
It was ducking.
I'm honestly not surprised because I was right. It hurt his feelings that I was right.
By the way, did it truly crush your dad when Kevin Can Wait was canceled?
He probably doesn't know it was canceled. I mean,
Don't ever tell him. Just let him continue to wait.
I'm home all day, and I'm looking at 500 channels, and I don't know where the Drew Carey show's on anymore. Like, it's not on. Like, Home Improvement's on, but the Drew Carey show not on. So that's his own thing. He knows some stuff that we don't know. Well,
all right, we have much more Mark Jamelli stuff that we will play either tomorrow or Monday. And then we got to get to Bird's big thing.
That's right. And then that will be...
And then we will make a judgment, finally, on who is going to go to this Avengers premiere.
Bird better have come up big.
How you feeling? How you feeling, Bird, so far?
He's 50-50. All right. Well, listen, Mark Jamelli is a true hero.
The Sports Hub app.
Hi, how are you, honey? Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed. You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Met by Bergeron, sent over to the far side, held in by Chara, tees it up, holds, waits, fires, he scores! Bergeron may have tipped it, we'll see who gets it, but Chara from long range bombs away, 5-2 Bruins!
98.5, The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Joe Haggerty, of course, covers the Bruins for NBC Sports Boston. I noticed that he was on the big TSN broadcast the other day, putting that up on the old social meds.
Wow, rolling with the big dogs.
That's right. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Haggerty.
What's going on? Good morning, gentlemen.
All right, so everyone I talk to is talking about the importance of getting Sean Corrali back. Do you share that sentiment?
Yeah, definitely. Sure. The fourth line has not been good in this series. It was a strength for them all season. They need more time in the offensive zone, less time chasing the puck and running around in their own end. And he definitely helps that. And it gives them the fourth line that they had all season that was an advantage over other teams. And you would hope would at least hold serve, if not be a strength for you in the playoffs. It certainly wouldn't be the liability that I think we've seen at times in the first few games of the postseason. So, yeah, it's definitely important to get their entire lineup back. Is it the end-all, be-all? No. I think there are more important things at play that, have started to turn, I think, in favor of the Bruins a little bit. Certainly they did in Game 4, that it's important that those trends continue. But, to have their fourth line intact that was giving them energy, giving them offensive possession time, that was being physical, that was bringing all the things you want a fourth line to do, to have them back, that would be good.
What are you hearing about Corrali's status?
Yeah, I think he's going to play. I mean,
oh, you do?
I think he might. Once they become a game-time decision, they're getting close and in the playoffs. Once you're close, guys usually push to get in. So I would think he's going to play, especially if he's getting this close. But, especially in a game like this. But, we'll see when they get out there and they're actually ready to go in warm-ups. I mean, I don't have any inside intel on it. I just think once you start talking about a guy being a game-time decision in the playoffs, usually they're a go unless something really serious is holding them back.
I heard that they're going to check him today, and if that fracture is healed enough, they're going to play him, but they're not positive right now. But you would know more than I, sir. There's no question about it. All right. Also, do you think that at home today they're going to return to the way they played in game two and be ultra physical?
I mean, I think there's going to be an element of that, but I think what you saw in the last game, too, was, you know, some of the more important things. Do you want Pastrnak being ultra physical, or do you want him scoring goals and,
right,
you know, concentrating on helping the team offensively? I think there's a balance there. Certainly they're going to be physical, and, you know, I think they should be in every game in the series because I think that's an advantage for them. And, you know, they were physical in game four in a different way. They blocked, what, like 25 shots. They blocked, I think, twice as many shots as Toronto did, and that was a big part of them winning that game too, is really digging in defensively and getting gritty and being physical in that way too. So it's not just throwing the body around, it's stepping in front of shots and playing, you know, playoff hockey in the defensive zone, sacrificing your body. And, you know, I think we're going to continue to see that desperation and then play that way physically. And the more important thing in my mind is just, you know, they started to, I think, dictate terms to Toronto a little bit in that last game. Bruce Cassidy switching things up with his lines, forcing Mike Babcock to, you know, start to make some decisions on where he was going to go with the John Tavares line, where he was going to go with that Nikita Zaitsev, Jake Muzzin shutdown pairing that they've used pretty effectively. And in that last game, it worked. You know, Tavares and Muzzin had their worst games of the series. They got dinged for a bunch of goals. Pastrnak gets set free for a couple of goals scored. I think he's a huge key in this entire series. You know, he had 6 goals against Toronto during the regular season in 4 games. He had 5 goals in that playoff series last year. You know, making sure that he's producing and he's at his best offensively, I think, is a key to the rest of the series and is going to help them win the game. So, you know, it's a balance of both. They got to be able to do both pretty effectively to beat Toronto.
More to your point, Joe, it seems to me that winning game 4 in Toronto, the Bruins kind of broke through. They've handled the Toronto skating game, figured out a way to beat them that way, and Toronto was more physical as we moved through games 3 and 4, and the Bruins figured out a way to punch through against them that way as well. It just seems to me that the Bruins will dictate who wins and loses the rest of this series.
They should. If they are dictating, I think that's a good sign for them and that they're going to win. And you do feel like game 4 to me felt like, in some ways, it felt like they escaped with the win, right? Because Toronto was coming at them in the third period. Toronto had a bunch of shots on net. But in another way, it felt to me like that was a turning point in the series. Like, you know, the Bruins finally made some adjustments. I think they did do some things to slow down Toronto. Yes, they got called for a couple interference penalties as a result of it, but they, you know, they were sort of doing the classic, you know, obstruction, getting in the way of Toronto's forecheck and their attackers and trying to slow them down by, you know, getting a body in between them and the guy that had the puck. And, you know, they got called for penalties a few times, but I think it also helped slow Toronto down a little bit. And, you know, more importantly, they were able to find a way to be effective and to get some offense against Toronto's better defensive players and the players that Toronto had been using and deploying as shutdown players. And they were able to, you know, get the snap back in their power play too, which was important. That was, you know, not good in game 3. It was much better in game 4. That's a huge part of their success. But, you know, like I said before, you don't want to oversimplify what's going on in this series, but when you look at the last 2 playoff series between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins, it really almost comes down to if Patrice Bergeron, if Brad Marchand, if David Pastrnak, if those 3 have good games and produce offensively, the Bruins are going to win. And if they don't, the Bruins are going to lose. And, you know, the fact that after, you know, looking ghost-like at times in the first 3 games, David Pastrnak finally looked like himself in that last game, 6 shots on net, a couple of goals, very consistent offensively and was present and you saw him during the game and noticed him. As long as that continues, I think the Bruins are going to be in good shape.
Joe, I think everybody kind of is in agreement. This Toronto team's better this year than it was last year. If there's the biggest kind of surprise or takeaway from what you've seen from Toronto so far in this series, what would that be?
It's that their young guys are older and have figured out a little bit of what they have to do to have playoff success, and they're not as soft and as loose defensively as they were before. You know, I think they're getting it together, and it makes them a more difficult opponent. They brought in a couple of guys in Jake Muzzin that they got at the trade deadline, and John Tavares that they signed to deal with teams like the Bruins to help shut them down better. And I think it has worked to a degree, but they also have, you know, Austin Matthews is scoring more in this series than he did the year before. You saw Mitch Marner blocking shots in game three, like basically facing the shooter with Pasternak at the end of the game and blocking shots with his chest. He could have like taken a face to a puck to the face right there at the end of the game to block the shot. But he's a skill, you know, speed guy, a finesse guy. He wouldn't have done that a year ago. And I think those Leafs players, those very talented young guys, they're starting to get it. And, you know, they may not completely get it, and they may not have enough to get by the Bruins this year. We'll see how the rest of the series plays out. But you're starting to see how dangerous that team is going to be as those young players with all that skill, all that offensive ability, all that speed, start to understand that the level of commitment and sacrifice and, you know, sometimes playing defense and blocking shots when that's not usually your game that it takes to win in the playoffs, they're starting to understand that. And that's going to bode well for their future.
All right, Joe, what do you make of Rask play in this series?
I think he's been okay. You know, he hasn't been great. I thought he was good when he needed to be good in that last game for them to win. And, you know, I thought it was interesting and telling for me that, you know, at one point the team picked him up in that game. He gave up that soft goal to Austin Matthews in the second period, and that really could have been, you know, trouble for the Bruins. If they could have gotten more shots on net on Rask at that point, I really think it could have gone in a different direction. But I think his teammates really picked him up. They, you know, Pasternak scores the goals, and they kind of pull away from the Leafs and pull out of trouble there. But then in the third period, you know, the Bruins were running around. Toronto looked like they had them on a rope, got to within a goal. And I think at that point, both the defense and Tuukka Rask stiffened up and played well and did what they had to do. And, you know, credit to him for doing that. So you saw the good and the bad of Tuukka Rask, I think, in that game four. But, you know, the Bruins won the game. I don't think, you know, he hasn't been giving up a soft goal a game. So that's good. And I think by and large, he has not been somebody that's taken away from them in this series. I also think at times he's been outplayed by Freddie Anderson, and, you know, you want your number one goalie to outplay the guy on the other end and consistently do that. We'll see how that plays out in the final three games. But, you know, of the problems that the Bruins have had in this series, I think Tuukka Rask would be far from the top of the problem. The goal he gave up to Nylander in game one was not great. The goal he gave up to Matthews in that last game, not great either. But, you know, he's had a lot of other saves that he's made where he's been pretty good.
All right, Joe Haggerty, NBC Sports Boston, fresh off a trip to beautiful Toronto, Canada. We appreciate the time, sir.
I appreciate you having me, Freddie T. Have a good morning, my friend.
All right, you do the same. Ted Johnson spends 2 hours in the gym every day. We will talk to him about his latest adventure coming up here at Adlines. There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rick. It's a real nightmare. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson is in for Rich. Now, Ted Johnson, like, Rich is fascinated with Ted Johnson. He's like, there was just something where everyone was in suits, and Rich was saying, "Did you guys see Ted Johnson in his suit? Did you guys see Ted Johnson?" It's like, no, I didn't. But
he's like your buddy that knows Todd McShay.
Yeah, exactly. He's enamored with your size. But, Ted, you go to the gym how many days a week?
I go 6 days a week.
6 days a week. And how much time do you spend at the gym?
I'm close to almost 2 hours every time I go in now.
Okay. So yeah. What is 6 days? So what body part? You work on certain body parts every day.
I work out. So most people, I would say 90% of the people, work out like certain body parts, so like chest and back or whatever. And then the next day it's legs. And the next day I do every body part almost every day. Oh. Here's almost every day, every other day. So what I do is I and it's weird. My body reacts to more work. Like the more work I give, the stronger I get. And some people are the opposite. You know, you don't want to overtax. My body can handle it.
Because a lot of people say that their rest is required for your muscles to heal. and to gain mass.
That's what they say. My body responds to the work. For whatever reason, I like the physical work. I get stronger. I feel better. So where you would think that sounds a little bit odd, because I think most people are the opposite. So the strength coaches I've had in my past have always thought it to be, all of them have come to the same conclusion with that. Like, man, Johnson, just you let him do his thing. Like, it's a little bit different. So I like to go in there, and I like the heavy weight. I still bench heavy. I don't squat as much because of the lower back issues, but I do a ton of legs with lunges and front squats, things that take less pressure off the back. So I still go at it pretty hard, Freddie. But I also twice a week do a CrossFit class. Okay, which is very different. It's a lot of people do these, what's the Orange Theories?
Theories, where you put the monitor on you and you can compare your heart rate to the heart rates of the people around you.
Yeah, well, to take that part out of it, but it's like
high intensity interval training.
Interval training. That's what it is. And so this past Saturday, something happened that it had never happened before, and I just remember, like, it just bugged the crap out of me. And I've always been fascinated by gym dynamics, just the people in there, things you see, how people behave, all the peacocking that goes on in there. I mean, it's awesome. I love it.
Now, do you belong to a gym that is known for, like, big guys?
Yes. Bayshore in Braintree. It's got an old school kind of feel to it.
So it's like a bodybuilder kind of gym.
It has a lot of different demographics, but I would say the heart and soul of that gym is meathead kind of bodybuilders. And that's, even though I'm not a bodybuilder, I have that mentality, if you will. So, but there's a CrossFit class that I take that's just kind of it's just to the side of the gym. And on Saturdays, they have you partner up with somebody. So I don't work out with people. I've never worked out with people. Almost most people like a workout partner. I don't like a workout partner. I like to work out on my own, because I like to go at my own speed, and most people usually, I'll be honest, just can't keep up or don't want to do the same thing I get. But in this CrossFit on Saturday class, you got to work with somebody. And I worked with somebody I'd never worked with before. Okay, and what they had us do, the workout for that day was 5 different exercises, and one guy does one exercise while the other one rests, and then you go, okay, and then he rests. And so you just kind of flip back and forth doing these, rotating these 5 same exercises within a 30-minute period. And so if it's 5 different exercises and you're each rotating and you're each doing a different one, each time around, you kind of want to see how many sets can you, the two of you, get through at the end. CrossFit is a lot of competing. It's kind of a competition. It's always, it has that competition.
You're a competitor,
feel.
So you want to win.
I do.
Well, a lot of people would go, who cares?
Right.
Your idea is that I want to win.
You know what
this
it is,
thing.
Freddie? It's not as much at my age do I care as much about that, but everyone else is looking to see if
they can beat
Johnson.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? So there's a little bit of that.
No, there's nothing wrong with being competitive. Right. In fact, if you're sloth like me, I can look up to someone like you.
Okay, cool.
When in doubt, I give up.
Right. Don't give up, Freddie. We all start somewhere, and we're all at different levels, so don't give up, buddy.
But there's also a guy who plays tennis a lot and runs a lot and sees you out there and says, oh, I can beat this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's old. I can beat this guy.
There's always somebody that maybe wants to take me on, and that's cool. In that environment, by all means, go ahead, but I'm not going to do anything stupid or hurt myself. But here's the thing. So we start this workout. So I work with a guy that I've never worked before. I'm like, hey, you need a partner? Sure, yeah, okay. I'm not sure he was that excited to partner up with me.
No, because if you asked me to partner up with you with something, I would leave the class. Like, that's happened to me before. Like, I've played basketball against guys, and they started dunking, and I just ran down the court and ran out of the gym.
Yeah, that's it.
I told that story on the air before.
Have you really?
Oh my God. Yeah.
I love it. Don't do that today in golf, by the way. Just keep playing.
All right.
We start the clock, 30 minutes. We got to do as many sets as we can, 5 different exercises. I go first, and I do my 15 burpees, okay? All right, now after I'm done with my 15 burpees, he's watching me. He goes to do, like, 15 wall balls. So you take the medicine ball and you throw it up against the wall. And then when he's done, I do 15 kettlebell swings. Okay. And then when I'm done, he does, so we go back and forth, back and forth. And I'm like, at the beginning of this thing, he's like busting through his exercises. And I'm so over there sitting there trying to catch my breath from what I just did. And all of a sudden, he's like done with his. I'm like, whew, all right, my turn. I got to go again. So then I'm doing my jump ropes or whatever it was, the exercise was. And then I'm done. And then it's his turn. And all of a sudden, he's like done. I'm like, dude, this guy's in really good shape. You know, I'm going to die. He's going too fast. I'm thinking, I'm not going to be able to keep up with this guy. And all of a sudden, after our second time through, I'm like, I'm going to start counting this guy's reps. This dude was cutting reps.
Uh-oh.
This dude, so he's supposed to do 15 burpees. I count every one, Fred. He does 12. He's supposed to do 15 wall ball throws. He does 13. He was supposed to do 75 double unders with the jump rope. He does 45. Oh. And I'm starting to get heated up, and I'm sitting here. This guy's, you know, so my rest is shorter because he's not doing his full reps.
That's right.
Right? So I'm getting cheated out of this thing. And then I'm thinking, Ted, so this emotion is like, so we're like, halfway through, and I'm realizing this guy's, he's not above board. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. And I'm like, you know what, Ted, who cares? It's not about this guy. It's about you, getting the shape, you want to be in. Like, he's, don't worry about it, right? Just let it go. And for the most part, for the rest of the remainder of the 30-minute session, I let it go until the very end. The very end. This guy has the balls to say to me, I think we got 8 sets in. How many sets do you think we got? I'm like, are you kidding me? No, I think we got 8 sets in. You want to ask me how many sets we got in when you were cutting corners? Like, dude, we got disqualified, bro. We're disqualified. We don't deserve to put in how many sets we did because you were cheating on the reps. You were cheating. I told him that.
And he said what?
And he was like, blah, 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 blah. And then he walked away. And he has like a, he had like a French accent, I think. So, like, I mean, it was just, there you go.
Well, there you go.
Okay, then.
I was so mad. I was like, okay. So at first I was mad. The guy's cheating. I'm getting cheated out of my rest time. And I'm like, Ted, relax. I mean, the guy's at his level. He's doing whatever. And so don't worry about it. It's about you getting in good shape and whatever. Doing the best you can. But then when he asks at the end, I think we got 8 sets in. I was like, you know what? This is the world we live in, you guys. This is the world. This is people cutting corners all the time. And it was so evident, smacked me right in the face in this CrossFit class on Saturday that people don't want to take shortcuts. There's no shortcuts in life, man. No shortcuts in life, my friend. If you're listening, my friend from France, there's no shortcuts.
shortcuts. So he just walked. Now, were you mad? Like, were you like talking to him?
I go, bro, come on, man. You weren't even doing all the reps, man. So don't ask how many sets we did.
Right. And so, but inside,
and he walked.
But inside, you're like on fire.
A little bit. Yeah.
So you had to control yourself. You had to talk yourself down.
Oh, this is like someone cutting him off in traffic.
So
angry.
All right. So Ted.
Oh no,
Ted. If you did
not quite like that, but
did you have?
But it did feel personal, kind
of. Of course. I mean, who wouldn't get outraged right. with that?
Exactly.
So all right. So, I mean, we'd all go crazy. But did you? So you had to have like an internal dialogue. Like,
yes.
All right, control
yes.
yourself,
Fred. Yes. If you could have gotten in my head, it was like I had calmed myself down halfway through this. And I'm like, Ted, dude, why are you getting worked up about this guy that's cheating? Like, he's only cheating himself. But then at the end, he's like, I think we got 8 sets in, as if to go put it on the board to show, everybody. I was like, we're not putting that on board. Give me a break, man. Like, come on. You weren't doing it. And I just thought, therein lies, that encapsulates the world we live in today. My friend from France.
People right are taking shortcuts.
Taking shortcuts.
It was a younger guy, too.
Yeah, it was.
One of these millennials.
The guy was probably 20 years younger than me.
And
you know what he was doing? This tells you everything. So he was working this girl in the room, okay? He had a thing. When I'm doing my full sets, he's like over chatting her up.
Oh, there's enough time for him to talk.
Well, so I'm doing 15 burpees.
Right.
Say it takes me, 40 seconds
right.
to do 15 burpees. Well, the dude's shortcutting, so he's got all kinds of oxygen capacity to go chat it up with the girl that's literally working out right next to us. And that got under my skin, too.
Now, if you are benching at the gym, is there anyone that can actually spot you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I needed a spot. Yeah. Okay. I would. But the only thing I would do if I was putting heavy weight on, Fred, the only thing I would need assistance with a spot, and I don't, I usually go to right to that edge where I, you know, where it's forced reps, but it's not to fatigue.
It's not to failure.
Right. Not to failure. But, and so, but if I decided one day I wanted to, you know, let's just have a go at it. Let's see what I can throw up. I'll have somebody help me do, just lift it off and then just kind of like follow me down and follow me up. But I mean, people don't know how to give spots in a gym.
Are you confident, though, that they could handle the weight, that it wouldn't just come crashing down on you?
I would only pick somebody out that I knew I trusted.
Okay.
You know, and I get asked to give spots to people.
Well, of course, because you could do it.
Yeah.
What's the max?
What's the max?
When you have one of those to the edge days.
Oh,
what kind of weight?
I'm at a point now where I don't do single rep maxes anymore.
Right.
My single rep max, the best number I put up was 420. So that's four plates on each side plus five and a 2.5. Okay. My max rep now I can do, I just did the other day, 290 pounds for 12 reps.
Jesus.
So I don't know what that equates to.
How old are you?
46. Same as Lisa Ann.
Okay. Okay.
There you go.
There you go.
It all comes back to Lisa.
So, you know, I don't know, the moral of the story is, you know, you're only cheating yourself, and this world takes a lot of shortcuts, and it's disheartening. It's a little disheartening.
Well, when Saget's in here, we can go delve in more into your age issues. And
my bloodlust issues?
Yeah. Your bloodlust. All right. Bob Saget should be in studio coming right up.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins play Toronto tonight at TD Garden, even at two games apiece in their first-round playoff series. Brad Marchand's team got an actual day off yesterday.
It's big. In games like last night, they're physical, you know, and the body takes a beating. You get worn down, so it's nice to have the rest and get away from the game, regroup, see the family a little bit, and, you know, we'll be ready to battle tomorrow.
Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the pregame at 6:30 and the faceoff at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Out in Indianapolis, Celtics play the Pacers, leading 2-0. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell have the pregame at 8 and the tip-off at 8:30 on 105.7 WROR. Red Sox have placed Dustin Pedroia on the injured list. He hurt his knee again at Yankee Stadium Wednesday night, but the Boston Globe reports he should not be out too long. Tonight, the Sox open up a 3-game road series against first-place Tampa Bay, and lawyers representing a pair of women who allegedly worked at the spa where Patriots owner Robert Kraft infamously visited have asked a judge to hold the local police and prosecutors in contempt of court. They allege officials have leaked the video of Kraft's visit to the facility. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Foxwoods. Earn points for your chance to attend Big Poppy's charity golf tournament in the Dominican. Learn more at foxwoods.com. I'm John Wallach on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
This is the flagship station of the Boston Bruins.
Pasternak shoots and scores the hat trick.
98.5, The Sports Hub. From the Town Fair Tire Center.
The Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
This is the home of the six-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. WTN 98.5, The Sports Hub. Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins play Toronto tonight at TD Garden, even at 2-0 apiece in their first-round playoff series. Brad Marchand's team got an actual day off yesterday.
It's big. In games like last night, they're physical, you know, and the body takes a beating. You get worn down, so it's nice to have the rest and get away from the game, regroup, see the family a little bit, and, you know, we'll be ready to battle tomorrow.
Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the pregame at 6:30 and the faceoff at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Out in Indianapolis, Celtics play the Pacers, leading 2-0. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell have the pregame at 8 and the tip-off at 8:30 on 105.7 WROR. Red Sox have placed Dustin Pedroia on the injured list. He hurt his knee again at Yankee Stadium Wednesday night, but the Boston Globe reports he should not be out too long. Tonight, the Sox open up a 3-game road series against first-place Tampa Bay, and lawyers representing a pair of women who allegedly worked at the spa where Patriots owner Robert Kraft infamously visited have asked a judge to hold the local police and prosecutors in contempt of court. They allege officials have leaked the video of Kraft's visit to the facility. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Foxwoods. Earn points for your chance to attend Big Poppy's charity golf tournament in the Dominican. Learn more at foxwoods.com. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
This is the flagship station of the Boston Bruins.
Pasternak, Pasternak, Pasternak.
Shoots and scores the hat trick.
98.5.